from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock hour here at Chiefs training camp. Cody and Gold broadcasting live from Missouri Western. We're inside the Comcast business tent, powering possibilities. About 20 minutes or so left in practice today. Then we're going to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, also Hunter Norzad, Chiefs rookie offensive lineman. Thanks again, though, to our guy Sean Barber for stopping by. I have the hat, Drew. He said, right. I'm supposed to hold on to this until week two. Go ahead.
Sweet. I was going to say, I think Drew should get the hat either way. If he's willing, hat for tattoos, not even a trade. He should get the hat.
What are you agreeing? He's agreeing to it. Text line's already, someone on the text line said their son works at a tattoo shop in town, in Midtown, and they're already offering to do the tattoo for free, Drew.
Wow.
Barber doesn't want you just getting a 5'9". He thinks you need
a story. He wants it in a jersey or in the Chiefs.
He needs to be in a jersey or have like a barber shop pole and have the 5'9 wrapped around the
barber. I think offering a tattoo is enough. I don't think you should be dictating tattoos.
But why would you just want a 5'9"? Don't you want it to be a little bit more than just the numbers?
No.
No,
because then it can mean anything.
Where are you? You're going to put this on your wrist?
Yeah, that's, it's going to be. So I've got my. I've got a Hebrew inscription on the outside of my right wrist. I'll get it on the outside of my left wrist. I'll get the 5'9 right there.
Okay. Who could that be? Is there a famous person who wore 59?
Yeah, Sean Barber.
I was going to say Barber.
I mean, if he's trying to lie to somebody, could he get it for somebody else? Yeah, it probably is.
The funniest thing that happens every day at practice, real quick, by the way, we're sitting here in our tent. So the Chiefs players, towards the end, it's starting to wind down. A decent amount of the team starts to come towards the end zone right by us. Right, and they're just moving to do a different drill. But the stand's completely empty, and everybody rushes to the front of the barricade as if all the players are about to come to them, and now they're being told to go back. It happens every day at practice. The practice is not done yet, but everybody, I've never seen people move so quickly, Cody.
Yeah, there is. I think you could almost.
And now they're all going back.
I think you could almost put it in a Chiefs dictionary term. There is a type of walk that I have seen people make every day at practice.
Like the jog to get their
when
spot?
When they're trying to get their spot when the gates open. And I would call it a speed walking penguin shuffle.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
It's
man.
All in the shoulders and hips. It doesn't seem like it uses feet at all.
Are you the person?
There's a very specific type of walk I see people make as they're trying to get their spot at Chiefs camp.
I wouldn't be talking too much bleep about that though, because in a couple of years, you already have the foot dragon behind you.
I might be walking like that soon enough.
That's what I'm saying.
But not on purpose.
Well, you think that the 53-year-old guy that's trying to run in here is walking like that on purpose? That's how he walks now.
This is part of his. That's part of his hustle.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's got a very particular vibe to it. Everyone looks exactly the same doing it. There's not variations of it. It looks exactly the same. I could describe it in great detail if I had to in written form.
Yeah.
I'm so used to seeing it. But that's also because we've been coming up to camp for so long, as we're the only show in Kansas City who broadcasts live from training camp because we're the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you ever want to stop by and say hello to the tent, we had a bunch of fans yesterday, a bunch of listeners yesterday. They're up and saying hi, which was great. And a couple of guys gave us a friendship bracelet, which my son stole.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
You know, and some Pokemon cards. It's fun. We always like interacting, saying hi. So come by and always say hi to us.
Yeah, and today's honestly the perfect day. Yesterday we liked. Today's truly gorgeous, perfect because the sun's out and everything. Good crowd season, ticket member appreciation day. And then we only have a couple more of these left in St. Joe in 2024 before we really get into the start of the season. Before we get back into some Chiefs football a little bit, I think this speaks to what we've been saying this offseason around the local schools, KU, K-State, and Missouri. And that is just that each one is legit heading into the season, and each one truly you can make a case can find themselves in this expanded college football playoff. And I normally, you guys know, cannot stand like the polls that come out for college basketball or college football. Like, I truly can't stand them because, especially in college football, they don't mean anything because we have the college football playoff rankings anyway.
There's an actual system in place that does the ranking.
I'll admit,
they're not way off.
I'll admit, I got a little excited, although the link literally now is not working. A little excited when I saw the coaches poll came out. For the season, and all three local schools are in the top 25 to start the year.
That's what excites me. The idea that everybody is in the grouping together, that all three locals are in the same boat, because it does speak to the quality that we're going to get this year. I think it is a 100% chance that one of the three locals is in the college football playoff.
Yes.
And I think it's at least a 50-50 shot that two make it.
Well,
because I could see a way where KU or K-State are the winners of the Big 12.
Yeah.
And I think Missouri, because of the SEC vibes and the talent they have on their roster, just as long as they don't blow it.
No, they have the best chance.
They got a history of blowing it. But like, just as long as they don't blow it, they'll be in the college football playoff.
Missouri has the best chance of any of the three locals to actually get into the college football playoff. By the way, in the poll, if you're wondering, Missouri 11, K-State 17, KU 24. That's the preseason coaches poll. Number one, no surprise, Georgia. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Oregon. Number four,
Alabama.
Number four, Texas. Number five, Alabama.
Same five schools.
Nine SEC schools, five Big 12.
Uh-huh.
Right. No, look, I mean, Missouri has the best path because they don't have to win their conference or even finish second to get in. We know for KU or K-State, you either need to go into the title game of the conference probably undefeated, or in a position where you've already lost one or two, but you win the conference title game. Something like that is probably the combination that we're looking for KU or K-State to find themselves in. But I would truly be surprised, I'm with you, if one of them, and I'll be surprised if Missouri just doesn't get in. There's way too much talent there, and the schedule sets up really nicely for the Tigers heading into this year. And so it's pretty cool, though, that we had, no matter whether you're KU, K-State, or MU fan, each fan base should be pumped for this season.
They have one of the 10 most talented players in the country on their roster. Luther Burden is going to be a top 15 pick.
He could end up being top 10. He could end up going number 10.
He might be top 10, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be conservative just for the sake of the conversation.
I hear you.
Yeah, I do think there's a pretty good chance. He might be top 10, yeah, top 5 pick. There's a lot of good wide receivers again this year, but he's one of the most talented players in the entire league. And they don't have inexperienced bad quarterback play. They have experienced quarterback play. And based on the way the transfer portal has worked recently, we know that teams really value that, and there's a difference in where those teams succeed, and that's why those teams keep going after. It's why Ohio State goes after Scott, you know, like they go after Thompson. It's versus like just bringing in a 5-star blue chip recruit. I think these teams are valuing veteran quarterback play at times like that. So yeah, I think there's a chance. What chance would you put for all three? It would take KU and K-State playing in the Big 12
championship game together,
and one would have to go undefeated and beat the undefeated one, and then they both make it in.
It
feels like a less than 1% chance.
I don't think that's
very,
happening.
Very, very
slim. I don't think that's happening.
By the way, new 249 Miles of Football podcast is out today. We talked about it a little bit. We're previewing each of the three locals. Today was KU, and one of the things that I talked about today is that KU is, like, every school is built to make the college football playoff now, which I don't know if you can ever, I guess, say that for KU or K-State or Missouri, but the way that the expansion helps is that KU's built this year to make the college football playoff. And if they can, it'll be interesting to see where they're at in the AP top 25, because the coaches poll, I hate to say it, but it means absolutely nothing. The AP technically doesn't either, but the AP at least sets a standard for the college football playoff rankings, where if KU can get themselves into, if they can start 30th or better, them having an easier schedule, even though they have that, if they go 11-1 or 10-2, they can find themselves in a spot where maybe if they lost in the Big 12 title game, if they did make it for whatever reason, they could sneak their way in, but they need a lot of help to – the Big 12 needs a lot of help to get two teams in, I think.
Well,
more
and
than
the one thing we don't know yet, I agree with you, Drew, but what we don't know, we know how the system kind of ranks teams, but we don't know how it will – look, I don't think they ever just go by the numbers. I think it's a little more complicated than that because last year, right, they didn't let in an undefeated team because they were without their starting quarterback. We don't know what kind of value they're going to put on the same thing that fans put on. SEC football versus Big 12. If you are a two-loss team in the Big 12, are you better than a three- or four-loss team in the SEC, depending on the schedule they play?
I think the answer is already no.
The history has been they will favor the SEC.
I think the schedule matters a lot. So Missouri has the easiest schedule in the SEC out of anybody in the conference.
They should be 7-0.
I know Missouri fans don't like hearing that, but they have the easiest schedule, one of the easiest schedules in the entire conference. Say they go 10-2, but one of the losses is to like Arkansas. Them having two losses, that loss to Arkansas might keep them out of the playoff if you're comparing it to a 9-3 K-State team that lost to an undefeated Utah team, because K-State had to play Arizona and Oklahoma State, and you know they have to play more of a gauntlet of a schedule, where I think Missouri can be in trouble if they lose two games. Depending on who they lose it to, they might actually get replaced by somebody else because of their schedule being a little bit easier.
Yeah, I just look at Missouri's schedule, though. And
they should be 10-2 at worst, and they probably should lose to Alabama.
7-0 to start the season?
Or they're going
to Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College 3-0, Vanderbilt 4-0, A&M, a tougher game, but I think they should be fine. 5-0.
At home or on the road?
On the road. UMass is 6-0, 7-0 against Auburn. They should be 7-0 going into the Bama game. Let's say they lose that game.
Or 6-1.
Sure, but I think that's
6-1's a problem. You know how college football.
I actually think that's a problem because if they're 6-1 going into that, then they drop to 6-2 if they lose. Then it puts that to me. They have to beat Bama
in Tuscaloosa.
And then they have Oklahoma. They don't have to win both those games. That's why I'm saying if they're 7-0 going to the Bama game, then they give themselves some leeway if they were to lose one or both against Oklahoma and Alabama.
They can't afford to lose to anybody other than A&M, Oklahoma, and Alabama.
I agree.
Yes,
I agree.
It's 100% accurate. But that's any college football year.
It used
to be that you couldn't even lose to that many. You could maybe afford to lose to one of those three.
Well, the easy thing to do is to look at Jalen Daniels' health and be like, well, he can't stay healthy for a whole year. Maybe he's representative of what KU is. But looking at Kansas on paper, right now, Jalen Daniels is healthy. Right now, they have one of the best running backs in the Big 12. They got seven starters on offense coming back, a really solid defense. Their schedule is one of the easiest in the country. And they don't have to play any of the big boys other than K-State in the conference. If KU goes 11-1, they're in the Big 12 title game, I think. You know, they legitimately can find their way. If Jalen Daniels is healthy for all 12 games, they will be in the Big 12 title game.
That's the big question. Is he healthy by the time they get to some of those middle of the road conference games? Because they open up against Lindenwood, Illinois, then UNLV, then West Virginia, then TCU.
West Virginia's a sketchy one.
And then it's Arizona State, Houston, and then K-State on October 26th. It's the same weekend the Chiefs are in Las Vegas taking on the Raiders. But, I think the path for all three locals, we could be sitting here in October, and, I mean, honestly, everybody should be 4-0, 3-0. I know that sounds crazy, but, like, they should all be 3-0, 4-0 by the time the calendar turns to October, all three locals.
Yeah. I mean, that's –
I'll be disappointed if any of them aren't.
That's – we don't get that very often in this city. And I know that, like, sometimes you're like, well, you guys don't talk enough college sports. It's like, well, you know what the truth is? We don't want to isolate y'all. We don't want to just talk K-State football and then just bury the other two. Talk MU football and just bury the other two. We like it when our entire listening audience is invested in college football. This might be, now, last year, I would say that that's the case. The Daniels thing is the most fascinating part about all of it. You know why? Because the simple reality is, you know, we were oversimplifying the Royals schedule a little bit for us earlier. Let's oversimplify Kansas. Over the last two seasons, when Daniels plays, they win. When they don't, he loses. The end. I mean, that's pretty much Kansas, right? In a nutshell, when he plays and he is healthy gold, they win. They win football games, a lot of football games, almost all their football games. When he doesn't play, they lose. So if he stays healthy for a full slate of college football, they're going to win a lot of football games. That's just a massive question mark, and it's a...
Somebody on the text line said that Missouri's schedule is still more difficult than any of the Big 12. Absolutely, but that's why we're also saying Missouri could lose two or three games and still possibly get in.
But if they lose if they lose to Arkansas the last week of the season, and that makes them 10-2, they might get jumped by a team that's 9-3 in the SEC that has
tougher
schedule.
I still think wins should matter. You can't help what conference you're in either, you know? We're not in the SEC.
Correct.
If I lost two of my games and you lost three and we're comparable, you know, shouldn't you get to be the third team?
Yeah, that's why I think it. I know that it matters how many wins you have, but who you lose to matters more than you winning one extra game if that win is against Boston College or Vanderbilt. Somebody said KU has no home games. Correct. They play on the road technically in every single game this year. That's two losses right there. If you look at their schedule,
I'm a KU alum, but let's not act like Lawrence was this unbelievable home field advantage.
And gold.
I went to school there, but let's not act like they're leaving the horseshoe and going to play in Cincinnati or something.
In their home games this year, they play Lindenwood. That's a win. UNLV, solid, but they lost a ton of players in the portal. Probably a win. TCU, they're projected to be in the bottom half of the Big 12. Houston, bottom half of the Big 12. Iowa State, potentially a loss. Colorado, projected to be middle of the road Big 12 or bottom half of the Big 12. So those are their home games. You know, I think that's the schedule is so favorable for Kansas. It literally is just Jalen Daniels and whether he can be healthy or not.
Obviously for Kansas State, Avery Johnson, explosive player, still not a ton of playing time. That's a little bit of a question there, and their schedule's tougher. But I think they're with Chris Klieman. I think we've seen enough. You know at minimum
they're
going to be.
Yes.
You know at minimum what you're getting from a Chris Klieman coach team.
Them and Utah were picked in the preseason to be in
Utah's
the Big 12 title game.
Top 15 preseason poll, too. Utah's really good. Utah's
salty.
Really, really good, and it's going to be a fun year for all three local schools in college football. Practice about to wrap up. They're stretching. It'll probably be at least 10 minutes, though, before we have a guest stop by, and that would be Hunter Norzad today. So while we're waiting for that, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
So we got some audio to go with this, because once you hear the audio, it definitely adds to what I think is a ridiculous situation. It's gone viral on TikTok a little bit. It's been picked up by some national news outlets. But basically, in July, there was a TikTok user who posted a video about their recent birthday party where they claimed they were upstaged by their boyfriend's sizzling platter of meat and vegetables, as in
a fajita?
Fajitas. Listen to the audio of this thing. Okay. This is insane. Hold on.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Who cares what someone orders on your birthday? You're going out to eat at a restaurant. Everybody knows, in this case, it's a Tex-Mex place or whatever. And everything on the menu, you can order fajitas. They can order fajitas. It doesn't matter. And also, look, I love fajitas, and it's a little pricier. Let's not act like they're ordering. It's not like the video from Pappy Steak in Vegas where they're bringing out the briefcase and, like, doing a whole show. They literally are bringing out a sizzling plate. Everybody likes fajitas.
Okay, so
what's the big deal here?
It has been years.
I can't order a certain dish at your birthday, though, that's
it has
nuts.
Been it has been years since, so you might not remember. I have told you the people who order fajitas at restaurants are attention whores. They just want everyone to look at them. Look at me and my sizzling plate across the entire restaurant, and I stand by that.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that people who order fajitas at restaurants want attention.
But
I think they love it. They crave it.
This
feeds them in some way.
I feel like might have been right in 1995 or something when that was like a newer concept. Like, oh my gosh, that person ordered fajitas. I remember being that kid it was my parents.
Everyone pays it. Everyone turns.
Not now. It's such a normal thing.
About it. Everybody looks.
If somebody walks
past in a restaurant and you hear that sizzling thing of fajitas, you turn. You can't help it. It's a natural reaction to turn and look at the fajitas.
So one of two things.
Now, I will say, the lady's description in there makes her seem like a bit much. Well, she seems like she's a lot to deal with in this friend group. And the idea of, like, kind of handcuffing people's ordering preferences seems a little bit crazy. But
anybody can order whatever the hell they want if you're at a restaurant. This is insane to like, gatekeep what I can order. Like, what you're describing, though, is like...
I'm saying you want the attention.
When
I order fajitas,
I'm ordering it because... It turns out grilled steak and peppers and onions are really good. Not that you're assuming, like, the fact that you're assuming. So is that why you order fajitas? Do you want attention?
Because
you're assuming that's what people want.
So
fajitas are great. Drew, where are you at on this?
From now, this is the problem. From now on, I'm going to be complacent. I'm going to think about every single time I want to order fajitas. Well, I don't want to bother this person. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's stupid.
She, oh, it says, Jesus, she makes made no order sense. Because they're good.
Yeah, correct. If I want a fajita, it's because it sounds good. I'm not thinking about correct. The sizzle. I'm not thinking about that. I'm hungry and I want a fajita.
Right. I mean, honestly, fajitas are some of my favorite. Like, if I go to a Tex-Mex restaurant, I might get the steak fajita burrito, which has no sizzle, so maybe you're happy with
that's
that.
That's a normal burrito.
But just regular fajitas are incredible.
That one the is only, okay for
I wouldn't tell people how to order. I would say, I'm saying you order it for this reason or partially for this reason, but I am not telling you you can't order it. Right. Yeah. So I'm in the middle
but
of
this
ground here.
Sparked a whole debate on TikTok. It's stupid. Order whatever you want. I told you the only time where I actually agree that you're ordering something to seek attention is there is a restaurant in Vegas. Is it? I keep pronouncing it wrong. Is it Pappy Steakhouse or Poppy Steakhouse? Anyway, and it's a briefcase. They come out with white gloves. They carry the briefcase. The steak's not cooked yet. They bring it out. They go, ooh, and they open it, and they close the case. They open and close the case. It's $1,000. That is seeking attention, okay?
Yes.
That is seeking attention.
That's definitely seeking
attention.
That's
different.
I'm just saying the fajitas are the poor man's version of what you're describing.
Oh,
that's the poor man's attention meal.
No,
really is.
No.
You can't afford the $1,000 briefcase. Most of us can't. Someone did say, and I already said this, but someone said, Cody, you sound a bit judgmental towards attention seekers. Please look in the mirror and S the F up, which is, again, I said, I've never denied. I have made this very clear on the show. If you think that this is somehow me being saying, like, you shouldn't be attention-seeking, I've made it clear. I do like attention. And I think there's a reason why I chose this job. I think Alex likes attention. I think there's a reason why he chose this job. I think part of us can't help it. That there's a reason, part of the reason we seek this line of work is we like it a little. At least some, right? Maybe not every day. But there is some part of us, like I'm assuming mine came from having five older siblings and desperately wanted someone to pay attention to you. I'm sure there's a therapist
it's
who could break it down.
But not
I think
for
that
food,
the feed
man.
Is laying in there.
Not for the food. There again, with the exception of what I described in Vegas where you're clearly wanting attention, no other food item you're ordering do I think, man, I'm ordering this filet because I want people to see it.
That's the only one. That's just fajitas.
Hold on.
Anything a flambe. If they do, like, table side, you know, they put it on fire a little bit, that.
So you think if they make the Caesar salad table side at a good restaurant, you think that's seeking attention,
Well, I mean,
too?
If you know they make it table side. If you order the, like, you know, those restaurants where they make the guac table side.
What about, like, Jasper's in town does the fresh mozzarella table side or whatever?
It's different if that's, like, everybody gets it, right? Everybody doesn't.
Yes, you can. It's just as accessible as anything else. Anyway.
I will say this. If you are not, if it is not your birthday and you're ordering, like, a dessert, or anything like that, where there's like a candle that, you know, something like that. Anything is brought out to you that's like a dessert. You don't need dessert if it's not your birthday. You eat your meal and then that's it.
Do you get annoyed when you're at a, let's just keep using the Mexican restaurant example, and it's some kid's birthday and they put the sombrero on and they sing happy birthday
in Spanish? Kids, it's different, man. Kids are all completely free of all of this.
Just checking.
No, kids are free of all of this.
So you're saying that if the kid gets mad because you ordered a fajita, then it's fine because it's
I want to go get some fajitas tonight, man. That sounds amazing.
Does sound good now. Now that we're talking fajitas.
It does.
Uh-huh. All right, that's the trash of the day. Practice is officially wrapped up, and so they're finishing up some stretching. And then coming up next, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes also have rookie offensive lineman Hunter Norzad join us here on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs King. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, we're back here in St. Joe. Practice is over. Players signing some autographs. We're expected to have Hunter Norzad join us when he's done signing a couple autographs, as with it being season ticket member appreciation day here in St. Joe. It might take a little bit longer, so we'll have Hunter in just a bit. Also, Andy Reid speaking to the media. You'll hear that in its entirety, along with Patrick Mahomes, coming up in a bit. I will pass on one note from what Andy Reid had to say. I always am skeptical when I hear the playing time question about preseason games and all that kind of stuff. Andy Reid said the starters will play for a quarter, twos for a quarter, and so forth. Reminder, there might be some starters, Cody, that play for a quarter, but if they go three and out on offense, they still might pull Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think if they go three and out, it's actually more likely he gets a second series. But I'll tell you, if they go seven plays for 71 yards and a touchdown, time to wrap her up. Put that thing in plastic and then just move on to the next game.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I just don't need to see Mahomes anyway. But
I don't either. But Andy, you know, this goes back to Andy is an old school in the way he handles training camp, and he's a little old school in the way he handles preseason. I think a lot of times it's kind of overblown. Like, the idea that you are more likely to get hurt in some, I don't know, slightly harder practice than any training camp, than a regular season game or anything. I think you play a sport like this and there's a risk for injury. And I just don't think it's that big of a deal if Patrick Mahomes plays a quarter. I don't think they significantly put him at risk by playing him one quarter.
No, but it's definitely still against the trend in the league.
I mean, it is. People in the league have just moved away from playing those guys at all.
Plenty of coaches just don't play starters.
And Andy Reid's got three Super Bowl titles in the last,
I get it. I don't think you should hold him to when he says, the starters are playing in the whole first quarter. Yeah, there might be starting left tackle Kingsley Suamati. Yeah, there might be starting center Creed Humphrey. You know what I mean? But Mahomes and Kelsey, I bet you are out of there as soon as possible. As soon as possible. And I know fans want to watch, you know, when they're playing as long as possible and all that. But I don't think it's worth it whatsoever.
No, it just generally isn't. But, I mean, I also just don't care, I guess. It's probably not like a big thing for them, but it's also probably not the end of the world either, Gold.
All right, we've got Chiefs rookie offensive lineman Hunter Norzad coming around here. He's going to put on a headset momentarily and join us as we talk to a different Chiefs player after practice. And this is the final practice before they head out to Jacksonville. And then we're up here just for two more as we're getting towards the tail end of training camp. And all our Chiefs player interviews here on 610 Sports Radio are brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. And we'll get to know Hunter a little bit, as we have obviously not had a chance to have you on the show before. Training camp first go for you. Just how things going, man?
They're going well. It's definitely an intense experience, as y'all can probably see. But I'm really enjoying myself. It's been really great to, you know, connect with the guys, learn the playbook, you know, get to compete at a really high level with some of the best defenders in the league. So it's been really fun.
People always compare, like, NFL camp to NFL camp. How's this compared to just like college practice? Because they always say it's hard. Andy runs a hard training camp.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I don't know how to answer.
They're not the same. I understand.
No, they're very different. obviously, I think there's more time restrictions in the NFL, so college practice may seem longer. But when we're talking about intensity and intent and competition, I don't think there's really a lot to compare to what's going on here. And obviously, I can't compare, you know, my experience here to other NFL teams. So,
teammate-wise, who have you kind of leaned on a little bit, whether it's on the field stuff, right, in the trenches, or just, hey, getting used to being a professional athlete and hanging out a little bit? Who do you kind of maybe, yeah, who have you become friends with, basically?
I got to be honest with you. It's really the entire offensive line room.
Okay.
So that group of guys is really great. I've talked about them before. They've been extremely supportive. You know, they're very welcoming to not just me, but all the rookies. Any questions, they're happy to answer them, whether it's about, you know, stuff off the field, lifestyle stuff, stuff on the field, you know, assignments and stuff like that. And so really just the entire offensive line room, you know, we eat meals together, and it's been really great.
So we saw when you walked into camp, I think it made a lot of big things because you brought Lego with you, like a flower, but made of Lego. Why in particular that? Why not just build a new one up here? Why? What made you decide to bring that up with you?
Yeah, there's no time to build a new one.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
I was about to say, you wouldn't have enough time to finish it.
I thought about it. I did think about bringing just an unfinished Lego set and trying to build it, but I got my focus on other things right now. And so I just want a little piece of home with me. I wasn't going to bring a
real flower to keep track of?
Well, yeah, real flower. I got to water it. You know, I don't have any sunlight in my room, so. But no, just to bring a little piece of some from home with me to camp to try to stay centered as much as possible.
Does it so far? I mean, you get drafted by the Chiefs and you come from college, so you haven't. I mean, through practice, you're living in a dorm just like you were. Although you maybe had a house in college or whatever. I don't know your final year, but just does that part of it? Just you feel like you're just back at college so far, like the first 3 weeks here. Or?
Nah, I feel like I'm at work. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I think it's a job now. Yeah, I mean. It's the best job in the world, but you know I think I'm very intentional with my days and what I do on a day-to-day and hourly basis, and so it doesn't really feel like I'm in college. I feel like I'm just maybe on, I'm sure what's something I can compare it to, maybe like a work retreat, like an onboarding work retreat, something like that. You know, that's how it feels.
Okay, that the way you're describing it is when they like go on a. They go and do trust falls and stuff. You got to really figure out whether or not to figure each other out.
Something
right?
like that.
When people don't know you much yet, and like the Lego stuff and all that, we've heard other guys getting together to play like Settlers of Catan. What does your free time look like, right? What does a traditional off season look like for you? We understand football takes up a lot of this time now, but what kind of things are you into?
What I really want to get into is working on cars.
Clyde's good for that, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think that, you know, I have my childhood car that I had for a very long time. So I think that's going to be my big non-football focus, is trying to learn how to work on cars, modify it, clean it up, stuff like that. And obviously we can't forget about the Legos. I'm probably going to get the Lego Titanic, Lego Eiffel Tower, something big. The Eiffel Tower is like 5 feet tall, so that'll take me a while. But
Okay, so this is a lifetime thing for you then, right? Because you're an engineering student. You went to Penn. This is how your brain works,
yeah,
right?
This is how I built. This isn't a phase. I think
you're locked
in. This is my genetics now. I don't think there's any more avoiding it as I get older.
What's the childhood car then?
It's a 2008 4Runner.
So that's okay.
So I had that for like 8 years.
You're still driving it?
No.
Okay. You upgraded.
It completely broke down on me.
I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
It gave up?
Yep. So my goal is to bring it back to life.
Okay. So you have the car still.
Yeah, I still.
And your hope is like
car.
I'm going to. You'll learn to fix it by fixing your childhood car.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a really good approach to do it. What went wrong? Like break an engine or?
No.
How deep in are you?
No, I'm not that deep in. The coilovers in the front completely shot. It's an old. It was a pretty old lifted suspension system, so it was under a lot of stress anyways. I drove it in upstate New York and central Pennsylvania for 6 years, and the solid just got to it, popped off. It was unfit to drive to Kansas City from Pennsylvania.
According to the state or according to you?
According to probably the state as well as a few car shops around town.
We've got Hunter Norzad, Chiefs rookie lineman, joining us. I say rookie lineman because you're playing us in different spots. I think that was one thing around the draft we discussed. You know, you played guard, but you could also play center. Just what have you been focused on so far at camp here?
I'm really just focused on doing whatever they want me to do, whether that's left guard, right guard, center. And, you know, learning the intricacies between the two positions and how things change, and really just trying to take what Coach Heck is telling us when it comes to techniques and stuff like that and try to apply them on the field.
He said everyone has great things to say about Coach Heck. What has that coaching relationship been like? How good has he been for you?
I think he's incredible. He's an extremely supportive coach. Obviously, he has experience not only as a coach but as a player in the NFL. And so I think he really understands what it's like to be an NFL offensive lineman. And that comes through a lot when he's talking to us and telling us, you know, change up stuff or telling us, you know, what do we need to fix? We're watching film. We mess up. How he kind of approaches that conversation.
I know it will be a preseason game. I know you've been at camp. But on Saturday, when you actually get to play in a game, will that feel different, being like I'm in an NFL game?
I think so. I think probably leading up to the game is going to feel different. Once that ball snaps, it's just football. You know, football is football, whether I'm in Jacksonville or Kansas City or Pennsylvania or something like that. And so once that ball snaps, you know, it's time to go to work and it's time to play.
It may sound kind of weird because, look, you're drafted, so you obviously know you belong in that realm, right, come out of college and your talent. But is there a point where maybe out there at practice or maybe it'll come Saturday where you feel even more comfortable or you feel even more like you belong at that point? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation. I think probably on Saturday that's going to click. I don't think that I've really felt like I don't belong here, but I think being able to play in an NFL preseason game is really going to – it's all going to culminate together, and it's gonna come together.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it. We'll give you time for Lego. And look,
he said he's not building them up here, though.
I think
he says it's already good to go. I don't have the patience for it, so props to you. Again, you're engineering here. We already know you're 1,000 times smarter than both of us here. Yeah. So,
you're definitely smarter than me. It's fine. I'd like to pretend that it's not the case, but it is. I'm just a sports
Were you
radio
trying player. For a second to – were you trying
I was
to
gonna,
claim that you were anywhere near the same?
No. I was never going to claim that. I was interested in engineering for what it's worth. I was accepted to pre-engineering, but I was never going to make it. I'd have flunked. Wouldn't have worked out. Congrats on you for making it, though.
Thank
and
you.
Thanks, and good luck. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Appreciate you guys.
There you go. That's Hunter Norzad joining us here on Cody and Gold. All our Chiefs player interviews brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. I wasn't going to let you off
I was
going to
say,
there.
Don't call me stupid. Well, and then I was like, stupid. Dumber than him?
It wasn't calling you stupid. I was throwing us both saying, like,
we're not as smart as you.
Correct. And you were like, well, I'm not so sure for a half second. I'm like,
no.
Okay.
I thought about combating it, and then I wasn't going to have much of a leg to stand on, if we're being honest.
Someone's more critical about the car discussion.
Why?
Someone said, did you ask, did you break an engine? Was the engine broken? Yeah, he was talking about what was...
I didn't know if he cracked the block. I wasn't going to be specific. When he said he was going to bring it back to life, I wanted to know what level of work he was going to have to do on the car. Are pistons misfiring? Did the engine, you know, like, which version of the car is bad? I understand they're saying, like, do you know anything about a car? What do you want me to say? Give a specific thing in the engine that might have gone wrong? I just wanted to know where he had to fix the car. I've actually worked on a car occasionally. I'm not completely inept. That's a good project for him. He has his childhood car. It broke down, and he's like, you know, I want to learn to work on a car, so I'm just going to hold on to this one. And if something goes wrong, at least I got a new car. He's not, like, trying to fix it so he can drive it tomorrow. That's admirable. That also is the same thing. Lego, engine, like, you can just, he obviously wants to build or fix. Like, that's going to be for the rest of his life.
Hunter Norzad, I'm sure we'll get plenty of playing time on Saturday in the preseason game, but could eventually long-term, right, could play center, could play guard. And right now, you would think he's going to be your backup center
at
this point. If in fact you have an issue injury wise with Creed Humphrey. While we were talking with Hunter Norzad, Andy Reid was wrapping up his discussion with the media. We already mentioned he was asked about the playing time. Plus, John Gruden still up here at camp. What his role has been? Hear from Andy Reid right now.
For the fourth quarter, and we'll just keep it at that. All right, time's yours.
It was like
Morris
left for a minute,
came back. He came back, yeah, he just tweaked his knee there a little bit, so I think he's going to be all right, yeah.
You have a long history with John Gruden, he's been here for a couple days. Is there any consideration for, like, an advisory role, or is it just simply
cancer? Yeah, listen, he advises a lot of people, so he's staying busy. It's not the grass isn't growing under his feet, man, he's rolling. So I think he's just going to keep doing that, and You know, hopefully he's able to get back in and get a head coaching job. And he's a phenomenal football coach. You know, he touched everybody here, both sides of the ball, special teams. He got to sit in on those meetings. So just a heck of a coach.
What did you want to be about the new rule, about the kickoff? How do you prefer about the new rule?
Yeah, so Dave Tobe, our special teams coach, he's been practicing it since OTAs. So he's tried to find the things that you can do and that you can't do. So it'll be a bit of a learning process as we go, but we think we have a decent, you know, decent plan for it. Yeah.
Are there any young players in particular you're looking forward to seeing Saturday night?
I'm going to play everybody, Adam. So all those young guys, I'd love to see how they compete. You know, the higher the draft picks, they're going to be in there in a little bit better competition. So want to see how they handle that.
Kingsley.
Yeah, Kingsley being one of them. Yep. So Kingsley being one of them, they'll be in there working, and we'll just see how he does in there. But I'm anticipating good things.
The initial roster showed the fullback slot coming back. What does that offer you all flexibility-wise on offense?
Yeah. So Steele, he's kind of that tweener guy. He's a heck of a running back. I mean, you see him out here running the football, and he does a pretty good job. What he did at Ball State was unbelievable. UCLA, unbelievable. But, you know, we're kind of maneuvering around, see if he can do the fullback stuff, and it looks like so far he can. And then we'll just see. We'll see how the numbers work out. You got to have special teams numbers and all that stuff. So we'll just see how the numbers work out as we go down the stretch.
Coach, they announced today, the club announced that Harrison is re-signed, making some more money. What's he meant to you guys in his career here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously a lot. I mean, he's been in huge situations for us and really come through, and his consistency has been great. You know, this won't bother him because he's got that work ethic and he just sticks to it. It won't be a distraction at all. So, listen, I'm happy for him, happy for the organization, and he's a heck of a football player, great kicker.
What kind of pressure was it for you to have a veteran guy who's been there and done that like he has in that spot?
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I like the field goal kicker. I like to have a little time under his belt, although we've done it both ways, but it's great to have the experience. And then at the level of experience that he's had is like crazy. So he's done it in huge games for us.
Coach, I know you defer to Brett on the contracts, but now that Harrison's done, I mean, there's going to be a lot of attention on Creed, Trey, and Nick as their next up. How important have just those three guys in that draft class been, yeah, both in the past, but also looking forward to the future and trying to keep them?
Yeah, that's the trick, you know, how you do keep them. So that's Brett's. He's the magician in that. I'm just a spectator there. But they've played so well for us, and you know you gotta see what you can do with the contracts as they come up.
Coach, just asking you, Joe Tooney's gonna go. He'll be in the preseason game.
Joe will not.
Last one, BJ.
Yeah, on that front, Coach, with you, of the guys sitting out today, do you think any of them will see time?
I would probably say no. But we'll see. I mean, we'll get it to you. We got a few days yet. So.
Sorry, Lee, go ahead. We ask you this every year. You play Patrick in the first preseason game. You look around the league, a lot of guys just won't play. They want to bubble wrap their quarterback. Your philosophy on this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I allow them to get in the swing of things, and you know, the ones know how to do that. Both sides of the ball, they know how to go about doing that, and but somewhere you got to get on there and shoot, and so it gives him an opportunity to do that.
All right, that's Andy Reid speaking to the media, acknowledging the playing time for preseason, also confirmed as we expected since Joe Tooney, who's been over in the medical tent working on the side all practice and stuff, still coming back from the pec injury. Joe Tooney not going to play.
Good.
So no reason to. Well, also more opportunity for the young guards. So whether that's Wanye playing left guard, whether it's Hunter Norzad playing left guard with the ones, that's good experience for those guys into Saturday's game.
Yeah, there is absolutely no reason at all to play some of the guys who've had these ticky-tack injuries whose production is more than proven. Tooney, Chris Jones, I mean, those are proven, right, productive players. I think that's also part of the reason you saw Wanya Moore has battled through it today. Tweaked his knee. It was clearly uncomfortable. He was doing individual stuff instead of group stuff for a while, but he battled through an entire practice because he's already missed a little time. And he's in competition for the starting left tackle job, and he wants to make it clear to this team he's going to be as available as he can be. So he battled a little bit. He fought through it a little bit, and I appreciate that he tried to stay on the field during that time, and he needs to try to get out on the field on Saturday, make sure that, you know, tomorrow, or not tomorrow, he's back at the practice field, ready to go by the time this game kicks off on Saturday, because he's fighting for a spot. It's different when you're a player of Joe Tooney, who had the offseason surgery. He's going to take his time coming back slow, and they still got, what, a little close to a month before the season starts.
Also was asked about Carson Steele, who is the rookie out of UCLA and Ball State, and been getting work as a fullback, as a running back, and he acknowledged, and he did, you know, how good he's looked, but also the numbers part of it. And that's the thing. If Carson Steele can give you a body that's on special teams and also can give you a look at fullback, all of a sudden his value is far more. When you're further down the roster, it's all about value and how you can obviously help the team. It's why it's going to be a really close thing to see with how many wide receivers they take, even, and who can help on special teams, who's not able to help on special teams. You know, LRZ really hasn't done much here at camp. He's got the international slot potentially where it won't even count against the roster if they want to use that on him. Otherwise, I would say, all right, well, then you're not having both of them on the roster. But it seems like right this second, barring other injuries or whatever, you would think Carson Steele's in a decent spot to make the team suddenly.
I would think so, because nobody else has emerged from the fourth tight end spot, and nobody else has emerged, like you said, from the LRZ standpoint, where he's just, like, ready to play. He's not ready to play NFL football in a month.
Chiefs going to have a fullback. He's wearing Anthony Sherman's number.
There's only so 42? Many numbers you can put on a fullback. You know, they got rid of some of the numbers restrictions, but could you imagine a fullback at number 50 or something? It would just look
weird.
Sure,
why not?
Or 99 or whatever else you could put him in. A lot of it just wouldn't look right, you know? But it's crazy. It's kind of crazy. They're going to go back to having a fullback because the rest of the league has just decided to move on from it. But, as Sean Barber, I think, correctly pointed out, it creates some interesting mismatch problems. I think some teams aren't really designed to handle heavier set teams. They're meant to be lighter and faster and handle more wide receivers and slot wide receivers. Because the league's changed a lot, you might be able to kind of reverse engineer that and bully people a little bit every once in a while.
Because think about the scenario where they're in the red zone or they're near the goal line, Cody, and it's Travis Kelce with Jared Wiley with, you know, Justin Ross is a bad example, but another big body wide receiver. Let's go with Xavier Worthy or somebody, or Rasheed Rice. And then you also have Carson Steele in the backfield. Like, there's a lot of...
It's a big set.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to worry about there if you're an opponent.
Yeah, I think so. And Andy's never, for as great as an offensive design guys, I think he is. His system does not operate the way like Shanahan's does. But there are ways in which, with the right personnel, which I think they have now, they should be able to create some gaps and some opportunities in the run game. So maybe that's what Carson Steele presents them. It's not crazy because it's Andy Reid. I can't really be like, you fool! But yeah, that's part of it.
We are broadcasting live from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. Practice is wrapped up, but we're here until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And up next, we'll get you caught up on what is trending, not only from practice today, we'll also get back into the Royals and what has so far been a very disappointing series. One thing has been very clear already, and we'll talk about the implications of it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.